Okay, anybody here want to go home? Not up to us. I'm talking about our heavenly home. You knew I was talking about that? Oh. Well, that's the title of this morning, Heavenly Home. Now, if you think about it, what true-blooded American, looking at the granite boulder at New Plymouth, the cornerstone of this nation, on which the Pilgrim Fathers stepped out of the Mayflower onto the new land, how can you not have emotion when you see that? Plymouth Rock. Also, in very much the same, what true-hearted Jew can but think with enthusiasm of those three glorious names, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Now, the verses today that we're going to be looking at stirred up the hearts of the Hebrews to which the epistle was addressed. And they should stir our hearts up as well, because these patriarchs, they are the Pilgrim Fathers of all the men of faith. Now this morning, we're going to see the scriptures are going to focus on one of them, Abraham, the father of the faithful. In Abraham's spiritual life, there were at least four great crises. Four occasions on which his faith was severely tried, and he came out victorious. We're going to Hebrews chapter 11. Our verse will be 8. 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Wow. Really? Was that a hard command that he received or what? Go. To just leave his native country and to rely totally now, 100% totally, on the promise of God for a home. If you think about your own life, think about Abraham. He had to break ties that bound him to the places of his youth. Now, he was a good man. He was a great man. Scripture calls him the friend of God. James 2, verse 23. But what made him great? Why was he great? It was his faith in God. So we're going to look at his execution of his faith. He was obedient to the divine call. Now the summons that's mentioned here in Hebrews is recorded in full in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now maybe there's some here that haven't read that. Rest assured, I will read that for you. So you have a full understanding of what Abraham was going through. In Genesis 12, verse 1, 3, now the Lord had said to Abram, that was his name then, not Abraham, to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The call was divine in origin. Abraham didn't pray to God, speak to me, Lord, on what I should do. He didn't solicit it from God. It was addressed by God to Abraham. The idea of it, the concept of it, all came from God, not human-driven. Divine communication. Interesting thought there. Communication from God. Now, some of us have had communication from God. And we read about Abraham's communication from God, but the exact way it was addressed to him, his bodily senses or directly to his spiritual consciousness, or was it a loud booming voice? Abraham, this is the Lord speaking. We don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us. But we do know the call came to him. The call was felt by him to be a divine command. And he knew it was from God. That should be the case with us. Whether it be a small, still voice that we hear, whether it be a feeling in our consciousness, whether it be a loud, booming voice, we must feel it down deep in our soul. I just heard from God. What's the next thing? Obey. Do it. Abraham was told to leave his country, leave his family. Just start moving. I'll show you where you're going. But it seems not only implied, but logical, that somewhere along his life, Abraham was called to a truer and a higher life. Now, whether he was an idolater, can't say for sure. But say that was the case. Now he was summoned from polytheism to monotheism. I am the Lord, your God, and you should have no other gods before me. He was called to follow wherever this unseen hand might lead him. And looking at his prompt obedience, we see a pretty impressive illustration of his faith. Now, for a person such as Abraham, I don't think that was a very easy thing for him to do. Depart from his country, his kindred, from all the places he grew up in and cherished and had sacred memories of, leave them all. Plus, he probably had the thought that he may never return again to that area. Never see his friends again. Never see whatever family he left there. Made it all the more difficult. And yet, Scripture says he obeyed the call. His faith in God was mightier than his strongest human feelings. Now, when I go on a trip, I like to plan out the whole route. Every road I'm going, every turn off, where to spend the night or nights if it's a long trip, and try to also plan out when I'm going to arrive at my destination. Abraham, on the other hand, just went out, not knowing where he was going, not knowing how far the trip would be, not knowing any difficulties or dangers that he may encounter, not even knowing when his journey would end. All he said was, "Yes, Lord." He went out, obedient to the voice which faith alone could hear. And he was guided by the hand that only faith could see. Are we like that? Because Abraham is not alone in this. The divine call is addressed at some time or other to every single person. You're going to hear it sometime. And you're going to hear it sometime. You're going to hear the call to leave the carnal existence to a spiritual life. To walk away from the selfish pursuits to go on to generous services for God. Moving from temporal, this worldly, to eternal. And most of all, from sin to holiness. The call to God by Jesus Christ sounds at some point in time to every soul of every one. Now, to some, it comes again and again and again because we're not listening. Maybe we hear it, we're just not obeying. Let's be like Abraham. Attentively hear. Heartily believe. And then promptly obey that heavenly call. Why Abraham? Jehovah chose Abraham. He chose him for a purpose of his own. We don't know. But he chose Abraham, and he made it absolutely clear what the call was. It sure is a big deal when any of us can positively be sure, amidst all the difficulties and the perplexities of this life, that we are exactly where God put us. Now, that's hard to comprehend sometimes, because sometimes we're not in a place that's comfortable. Things aren't going well. God put us there for a reason, just like he put Abraham. We have to remember the promises of God give us so much better resting place than any plans of our own. we will be provided for. All we have to do is show the obedience of faith. In that message I read, God promised Abraham divine guidance, a land I will show you. That's a promise. I will show you the land. I will bring you to the land. And it was that element that would try Abraham the most. He didn't know where he was going, but that was no concern for him. When God directs, we can't begin by choosing our path according to God's directions and going on with our own judgment. It doesn't work that way. Everything must be begun, continued, and ended in God. Let's look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac, Jacob, the heirs of with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So he made it to the land. Now most of us enjoy living in a house. It's safe. It's comfortable. It's a place to call home. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as faith is in God. Those last verses I read give us a little contrast between the tent and the city. Now the tent is in one place in the morning, and it may be miles and miles away at night. The city always stays in the same place. If you drive 199 to Grants Pass, it's always Grants Pass, is always there. They didn't move it. And so we have this indication that there's a different kind of occupation for the dweller in tents than there are people that dwell in cities. Because the one that lives in a tent, he's got no particular interest in the land. Just happens to be where he's at the moment. As long as it supplies his needs for the day, perfect, good enough. Move on to another spot that supplies his needs for that day. But if you have a house, you have a deep interest in that home. And you have a deep interest in the prosperity and the development of the city. Because that's where your livelihood comes from. And so we read that Abraham received a partial fulfillment of the promise, a land I will show you. He brought him into the land of promise. He dwelt in the promised land. With that one thing, we see that God gives us, all that can be given under present conditions. With Abraham, the time hadn't come yet to possess the land. Abraham's seed had to be increased. They had to be disciplined before any of that was possible. But nevertheless, Abraham could dwell in the land. Satisfaction and joy begins the moment obedience begins. So haven't we also entered into part of our inheritance? We have an inheritance. Haven't we got part of it? Don't blessings of the heavenlies stream down on us even now? I mean, Abraham enjoyed Canaan. Him and his dependents, they got food. There was abundant grass for his cattle. He was happier in Canaan, even as a wanderer living in a tent, than he could have been anywhere else in the world. And that's because he was where he was by the will of God. Now, Abraham's life in Canaan, that may be viewed as a picture or as a pattern for our life on earth. There's no abiding place for us in this world. The Christian's treasure is not on earth. Our inheritance is not here. It's reserved in heaven for us. Lay up not treasures on earth, but in heaven, where moths and thieves don't destroy it. And so Abraham and the other patriarchs that I mentioned, they expected the fulfillment of the promise of Canaan. But they expected it in something higher than any earthly city. When Abraham believed God's promise, it was by faith that he looked for, and he even anticipated, a more glorious inheritance than earthly Canaan. He understood, and so must we, the city that is worth living in does not come from the wisdom and power of men. It has to come from God. He plans it and he constructs it. And so we remember that the foundation of the city of God is outside of the limits of the scene and the temporal. Look at this city in a similar way to the rest that is provided for God's people. There's a city which has foundations. It's a house of God, not made with hands. It's eternal in the heavens. And what's our part? Waiting. Patiently waiting. Rejoicing in the present indwelling of the Holy Spirit as the down payment. And then knowing that the fullness will come in God's perfect time. We're going to have the Lord's table today. What? No.
not having cookies yet. Watch it. Ooh. Thank you.
Baby.
Thank you.
Not her baby.
Would you want to?
I'm just thinking of our heavenly home. I wonder what it would be like. Will it have a couch? Jesus will be there. And when he was on the earth before he left to go prepare for that house for us, he gathered all his disciples together and he told them. He says, this bread, this is my body that's going to be broke for you and for all the world. Whenever we get together, we are to remember him. And so this is why we have this day. It doesn't have to be the first Sunday of the month. But it's a day that we pay more attention to what Jesus did and remember what he did. Well, let's partake of the broken body of Christ together as we remember him dying on the cross for us. In order for atonement for sins, there must be shedding of blood. And Jesus took the cup and he says, this is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood that will be shed for you. And he says, don't forget. When you get together, don't forget me. Do all this together and remember me. And let's remember him now. Lord Jesus, sometimes in our lives, we do not know where we're going either. And so we just look to you for our guidance and our direction. We know you will not lead us astray. you will bring us into the land. And where you are, we will be with you always. Be with those that don't know you. Walk with them and talk with them, that they may see who you are, that they may believe, and they will come to be saved. We pray a blessing upon this congregation, Lord, and all the things that they plan on doing. A special blessing on the young men and women, because they will grow up to be the patriarchs of this church. Guide and direct them. Give them strength and wisdom. And keep the evil one away from all of us. In Jesus' name we come to you. Amen.